Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com. Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
I've been out for so long, longer now than I was in. And I ain't saying I'm some cowboy. Right now I'd go back again, but I'm so thankful for my family, my wife and my two kids. Oh, most nights I thank God they don't know where I've been. Where we painted hide our faces, where we learned to walk the wire, where they fed us just like lions, and they watched us jump through fire. Way we walked around in circles, the way we worked into the ground. Well, I may not miss the circus, but I dance, you'll miss the clown. Oh, damn, I miss those clowns. So this why you find me out here, in a place you never feel. And I know that you don't understand, and I pray you never will. Where we painted on our faces, where we learned to walk the wire, where they fed us just like lions, and they watched us jump through fire. Way we walked around in circles, way we worked into the ground. Well, I may not miss the circus, the way they fed us just like lions, the way they watched us jump through fire. When they taught us sweet, feed it. Turned us into liars. The way we walked around in circles, the way they trained us just like hounds. Well, I may not miss the circus, but I damn sure miss the clowns. Oh, I may not miss the circuit. I will always be a clown.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, to the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. It's me, Gene, your host of the TPO Doc Talk. Let's kick this pig. And welcome to another edition of the TPO Doc Talk. It's me, Gene. How in the heck is everybody doing out there in the paddle and fin country? Man, I got to tell you something. This is super, super cool that we are broadcasting to you now on the Paddle and Fin Network. We're still where we always have been at the TPO, True Patriot Outfitters, of course. Romans Warrior Foundation is who makes it all happen for us. They are the mothership. One thing, if you were watching before we went live, you saw Tyler J there, one of our Stop 22 artists. I have made a promise to a couple brothers here that we're going to make sure we open every show with this. If you know of a veteran, if you know of an active military or a first responder, a former first responder, if you know of one in your family or in your friend circle, reach out to them, call them. Check on them always. Make sure they're doing all right. Make sure they know you are there. If you are one of those individuals out there and things start getting a little dark, listen, man, call your battle buddy. Get them on the phone. Better yet, if you can't find a battle buddy, you call the True Patriot Outfitters. Hit me up on any one of our socials. More importantly, the bigger network, the Romans Warrior Foundation. We got your six. We care about you. We love you. And I'm just going to end it with that. You are never, ever alone. There's a lot of sources out there, and we're going to remind that on a daily. Stop 22 until there are none. That is our mission. We're never going to stop. And just let our brothers and sisters out there know that we are here. All right, dude, let's get this thing started. Man, 2.5, almost 3 years ago, we had this little show start. And I was new to the kayak game. I hadn't really known too much about it, but I started doing my research, of course. I wasn't new to tournament fishing, so I started looking up, all right, who are the guns? Who are the big guys out there that set the stage? And who are we looking to, you know, to follow? One name kept coming up over and over and over and over again while I started doing some research on this man, and I realized, you know what? This dude is a United States Navy veteran as well. So how perfect of a fit for our show is this guy? Just so happens he is the OG, and he came on our little show when we had like 12 subscribers way back when. Well, I called him up to celebrate the news about Paddle and Fin, and he said, you know I'm down, brother. Let's bring him into the show here. Mr. Jody Queen joining us again. How in the heck are you, sir?
Hey, guys. I'm doing good, Gene. How are you doing?
You know, I'm not doing as good as you right now because you in some nice weather down there in Harris Chain.
It's getting here. It's been slow coming, man, but it's supposed to be 75 tomorrow, and I can't wait to get out of the water tomorrow.
I bet. Have you been on the water yet, or are you just getting settled in, getting everything in?
Get settled in, and then tomorrow will be my kickoff day, and I'm looking forward to it, man. A few guys have been out today. I've been getting some pictures. You know how everybody, they send you those rub-it-in pictures.
Right.
There's already been some good ones caught, so I'm looking forward to it.
Well, let them win practice. That's all right. They can do that.
Yeah, you can't wait to practice.
That's right. Man, you know, that's the thing. It's we're always – so the last two places I live, Minnesota, now Colorado, it's like the season always gets going early for everybody else. And I see y'all down there talking about, well, we got spawning fish. And I'm like, bro, mine are still fish sticks up here. What do you mean spawning?
I know, man. It's crazy. I look for them to move up this week, too. We're going to have a good moon this weekend. There's a lot of warm weather. So, I mean – I'm really excited to see where it's going to end up at the end of the week.
I was going to say, how has the weather looked coming into it compared to what you're seeing now? Is it kind of similar, holding tight, or is it a lot of change?
It's just now starting to stabilize. The nights are going to stay in the upper 50s and the low 60s for the rest of the week. And just last night, it was down in the 30s. So, you know, the water's right around 57, 58 degrees in a lot of places. And, you know, it's just going to steadily keep climbing this weekend, and we get that good moon phase in here. It's hard telling what's going to happen. I think there's going to be some big fish caught.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, this is so this is the opener for the Hobie Boss. Got that the Harris Chain opener getting going. They normally usually start down there, don't they? I mean, a lot of series tend to start.
This is the second year we've kicked off down here on the Harris Chain, and last year we had over 200 entries, and this year we're sitting at 145, and you have till Wednesday, I think at midnight, to sign up.
Nice. My man Scott Brands, he's a fellow Coloradoan out here, and he's, as he said, hard for me to wrap his head around spawning fish in January.
Hey, me too. You know, when I left the house, well, I called my buddy at the house. Day before yesterday, it was 6 degrees and the wind chill was 14 below at my house in West Virginia.
Wow.
So I live up about 2,600 feet. So we get all the worst weather you can imagine up there sometimes. And last I checked, we had 13 inches of snow on the ground. So
good. Dude, when was the last time West Virginia seen that kind of weather?
Oh, where I'm at, we get it every year.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I live right in the middle of the mountains. So.
Okay.
We get a lot of that. I think last year we didn't have like one big heavy snow, but we had a lot of little snows, 2, 3 inches, 4 inches here and there. But this year we got dumped on a little bit there last week, and it's just been really cold. But gotcha. It's been cold at work.
See, I mean, it's the funny thing, you know. Now, I lived in Ohio for a stint during high school, and you'd think I'd remember that yeah, we get snow out there, dude. It's not that far south, you know, when you look at the thing. But since living in Minnesota and then living out here in Colorado, you know, I always think any other state out there is just like 50 and 60 through December and March. You know, it's like I'm always jealous no matter what.
You know, it's strange, too. Once you come down out of the mountains, get over into the Ohio River Valley in that area, it's a lot different. And if you go across into the Virginia side, you know, up around Roanoke and in Richmond, it's totally different weather that we get there. But right in the middle, you have the Appalachian chain that runs through there. And you get up, you know, 2,600, 3,000 feet. I mean, you get weather there.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So it can be 10 degrees warmer, 40 miles from my house, you know, but we get some weather in there for sure.
I was going to say, we got the same, you know, with the Rocky Mountains being right here in the foothills, there's some serious, you know, that's a serious mountain range. And so we can be in 105 degree heat down here, drive 30 minutes up into the mountains and you're sitting at, you know, 60 and 70 degrees, you know, no problem. So it's, those mountains, man, they cut that weather up for sure. Now down there at the Harris, this time of year, how prevalent, you know, cause like, We go spring fishing. I've done a lot, you know, through Texas and down through the side there. And it's like, just gear up because you're going to get wet. You know, that's going to happen. Is it similar down there at the Harris Chain during springtime that pretty much rains any day, any time?
You know, usually, I mean, the wet weather really isn't supposed to start down here until after April. But they've been having a lot of wet weather down here. In December down here around Tallahassee, they had 12 inches of rain in December. So the lakes here right now, from what I can tell, they're all up. They're full of water. I mean, I think one of the lakes that I looked at was up about a foot. So they've had plenty of rain down here. But usually this time of year, the winter is the drier months for Florida.
Nice. Nice. I actually lived in Florida during third grade, fourth grade, and fifth grade. I live down there, but I didn't really pay attention to weather. I was more interested in everything else. But
here, man.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, that's got to be exciting, man. So what is this? What season is this for you on the, you've been involved with the Hobie Boss since its inception, right? Since it left its scattered type routes to become a formed league. You've been with them from the beginning, right?
Yeah. So I think 2024 would be the fifth year for the Hobie BOS.
Yeah.
And I won the very first Tournament of Champions in the BOS.
Right.
And I've just had good success. It's a great format. They just started allowing motors this year. It used to be all pedal. Of course, you know, the Hobie drives are the best drives on the market out there for doing what I do. And so I got into the Hobie, it was just, that's the boat for me, you know, for tournament fishing. I mean, I every company has a really good boat right now.
Yep.
If you go looking, I mean, the new natives, I mean, they're really good. The new Titan X, and I mean, there's a lot of good boats to choose from out there. I just landed on Hobie, and it really works for me. So I've stuck with them.
You know, I'm new canoe through and through. I mean, I love Blake. I love the company. I love the product and the boats. But I'll flat out, I can flat out say it, and all of us can say it because it's the truth. I mean, there is no drive like that Hobie drive. I've been walked away in substantial current on the Missouri River up at Lewis and Clark. I had a full trolling motor sipping my cup of coffee, chiefing away on my vape, you know, rolling up, going up current. And homie comes up next to me in this PA-13 with a 360 on it. And he literally, we chatted for a little bit, you know, and he was breathing heavy. I'll give him that, but he pulled away from me against the current. And I'm like, yo, holy hell. And he had no motor. He was just all pedal drive, you know? So it's like, okay, I see you.
One of the biggest things that I like about the 360 drive is not just being able to adjust the direction that you need to be going. I mean, you can really tear a dock up with those things because, you know, whatever way that arrow is pointing on your drive, that's the direction you're going to go when you pedal. So, I mean, it's just, it adds a whole different dimension to it. But what I really like about their pedal drives is they don't pick up the grass like a prop drive does. You know, you got this instead of something spinning. So when you hit, you know, loose grass and stuff, a lot of times you can get through it pretty good. Now they'll guard up on some stuff, but they do a lot better in grass than most of the other drives. I think that's what I really like about them.
You know, and back then, I don't know if we did it on air or not, because you and I chatted off grid a little bit, but 2.5, almost 3 years ago, when we first sat down, I hit the question with him, like, what are your thoughts on Hobie looking at motors? Because even back then, it was a topic that it seemed like, I mean, I understood the business sense, just what we've been talking. It's that drive.
Right.
They created a series where their drive is going to outshine, you know, just anything that's around. Yeah. So brilliant job on their part. But then I started, you know, I made the argument that if you truly, yes, you got the most money, I'll give you that. But if you truly want to say that the best anglers all compete there, then you got to kind of open that field up because not all the best anglers pedal. You know what I mean? It's like, there's some guys out there that like their motors. And so when I saw Hobie doing this year, I'm like, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Because I'm excited to see Bassmaster and Hobie be able to field two great fields of anglers. And the, I know that they're working, you know, we all work together, man. They worked with us at the All-American so nicely to, you know, share schedules so that we could try to make sure our events didn't conflict with theirs. Right. Because, you know, because we're not here to compete against those two series. We're here to to show that there's enough market out there for all of us, you know, to work with. And so, I thought it was so cool, man, that they opened it up.
Yeah. And you want maximum attendance at your event, too. So if you're not in scheduling conflict with, hey, Jimmy, that's my buddy Jimmy McClurkin there. It just come up on screen. I haven't been on water yet, Jimmy. I've fooled around with my boat trying to get everything ready, and I think it's going to be a power fishing and probably sight fishing toward the end, but I think these big females are running these flats right now just looking for a place to spawn. They've got one thing on their minds right now. They got to find a place to spawn, and the ones, you know, I haven't heard of anybody actually sending any fish on the nest yet. I haven't talked to a whole lot of people, but yeah, it's going to be a power fishing tournament, my opinion.
That's my dream. I'm so where I live, it's a finesse game. That's what you got to do out here. You got to bite the bullet. I don't care when it is, if it's, you know, pre-spawn, spawn, fall, dog days. Yeah. You gotta finesse fish out here to really get these guys to fire. Yeah. I love getting a chance.
Back to the Hobie thing, I wanted to tell you, I really do get the reluctance, you know, that Hobie has had for a long time for not allowing motors in there. Because, I mean, they built their boat around that drive, you know.
Yeah.
And that drive is, you know, but, you know, what this allows is there's a lot of people out there, like, me included, my knees are all messed up from when I was in the service. And there's a lot of people out there who they're not legally handicapped, but they can't get out and pedal 9 miles to be able to compete with some of these younger people, which, I mean, it's all good, but this was going to allow some of those people to come into the tournament scene in the BOS. And like you said, not everybody pedals, you know. So yeah. I mean, there's already a couple guys that have shown interest that have never really fished a Hobie, but they run motors, they run bow mounts, and they're gonna come over and try some Hobie. So I think it's gonna be a good thing.
I do too. I think it's a great thing for the sport as a whole. Yeah. So Jimmy says heating trend with a full moon should be fun.
You better believe it.
I'm with you, Mark Edwards. He says I'm lazy. I love the motor. Beep beep.
My buddy Mark.
Well, you know, I always said this myself too. It's like, look, I don't need to pay you $200 for you to prove you're in better shape than I am. Okay. I'll just tell you that. You don't need to take my money. Yeah. You know, I'm here to fish. I'm not here for a mud runner.
That's right.
So yeah, no, that's super cool. And you know what? There's, like we've said this before, like anything in fishing, just because it allows it doesn't mean that there's going to be some people that go do it. Hey man, if you cut your teeth and you're comfortable on just using the pedal drive, do her up. That's how you've been winning money. Then keep doing it.
Yeah. And we're noticing too, there's some trails coming along. Like Drew Gregory's got his kayak adventure series coming up. We're kind of keeping an eye on that too. I'm going to probably fish a couple of his, and it's more of a, getting the rivers, getting the back places. The rules are a lot more, I won't say lax. They're just more for the guy who wants to pull off on the side of the road and launch. And there's no designated launches. You just got to be on public property, and it's just going to allow a lot more freedom for you to do things. You can get out of your boat. You can wade fish. You can do, you know, and it kind of plays to your strengths, especially if you grew up on the river, you know, like I have and like Drew has. And you want to be able to get out of that boat, man. You want to get back in these spots that's hard to get to. So that series is going to allow that. And that's going to be a different way for people to get into the sport.
Yep.
It's just the sport's still growing, Gene. It's not.
Oh, man.
It's not nearly saturated yet. You know, I mean, I think that there's going to be paddle only tournaments. I've started seeing those you know, popping up. And hey, more power to it. I love seeing that. You know, there's room for everybody right now. There's a lot of people out there who don't like motors. I get it. There's a lot of people who don't like pedal drives. I remember when pedal drives were first starting to hit the market, and everybody's like, no, I didn't go to a pedal drive. That ain't fair. That ain't right. Hey, it's just progression, man. And this is the way that it's going. And you got to either get on the motor or you're going to sink, you know. But
dude, but you'll appreciate this, Jody. I had a conversation. There was report of a club, bass club, out in California that banned LiveScope, right? This was the they literally in their club banned LiveScope. And I was put on the spot, and I was asked about this. And I wasn't on air. It was at an event that I was at. And I said, look, I'm gonna shoot you straight right here. That's the most ridiculous thing in the world that I've ever heard of. And they're like, well, what about advantage in this and this and price? Because if a guy can afford this deal, and I'm like, yeah, okay, well then no more Hobies in the damn drive, okay? I don't want to hear any more about this because I can't afford a $6,000 Hobie that's got that whiz bang drive on it. And there is clearly an advantage you have over me. You know, I was like, so what? I was like, where does it ever end? You know, so it's like, I used them as my goat to that. It's like, yeah, well, they've had a like the guy with the $600 fishing rod. Nope, you got to use a 150 ugly stick, just like me.
I hear that a lot. There's a lot of haters of forward facing sonar. They're saying it's bad for the sport or whatever. But listen, this sport's going to progress whether we like it or not.
Yes, and, sir.
There's nobody is saying that you have to use forward facing sonar. I do fine without it. I don't use mine all the time. There's certain places I like to use it. Like if I'm up on St. Clair and I need to find, you know, some smallmouth, you know, or, you know, in that open water. But I mean, down here in Florida, I mean, you can use it in some spots, but most of the time I'm just using side scan, man, and just dropping waypoints on isolated grass beds. And, you know, it's just not, there's not that much set. You don't get good separation when you're in that real thick grass and stuff. I mean, there's places you can use it down here. Don't get me wrong, but
I feel you, man.
I don't use mine very much down here, down south.
I feel you. I'm not a scoper myself. I've had it for a couple seasons and I use it. And you'd think with the amount of offshore and no grass, straight structure fishing that I'm doing out here that I'd really engage it. But I got to tell you, it's just not my, it's not my game. And every time I do it, it's such a push and a force. So I was literally, I'm no kidding. This was like 10 minutes before showtime. I'm talking to a guy out here, a buddy of mine, that I'm probably going to sell my entire system to him. I'm going to go pick up a different brand. And cause I'm really, I love traditional sonar, man. That's my thing. And,
I mean, it's hard to get out of that, isn't it, Gene? I mean,
it is. I keep second guessing it every time I say it. I'm like, should I?
Well, I mean, I love a good side scan. You know, I use Lowrance and I love their side scan. It's crystal clear. And it's just, you know, I can drop those waypoints on a grass edge, you know, just go around and bang, 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 bang. And then I can back off of it. And then you're doing pretty much the same thing. You just got to find out manually if the fish are actually there. You can't see them on a screen.
And I prefer that. I want to throw my little jig in there and I want to pull through and feel gravel and sand. Oh, there's sand. Oh, no, we're back in rock again. You know, I like that feedback that I get. It just connects me to things. So,
yeah, I do too.
Well, cool, man. Say real quick here, we're going to pay the bills here real fast. We got a really super cool event coming up for Paddle and Fin. They hold it every year. Let me roll this real quick here and get your thoughts on this. Dale Hollow. That's like right in your neck of the woods down there, man. How you got some experience on that one, don't you?
I have no experience on Dale. I'll tell you, my experience on Dale Hollow was I was coming back from a tournament with a buddy of mine one time, and I said, man, we're driving right by there. Let's just go up there. it was cold and spitting snow, and the lake was down at Winter Pool. We didn't even put our kayaks in. We just started walking the banks, and I was catching 19-inch smallmouth just walking the banks of that place.
Good night.
I just have not had a chance to get back there and fish that fishery, but I know that it's lights out. I've been following like the Tennessee Valley, the Tennessee anglers there, and some of those tournaments they have on that lake in December are just, they're amazing. They're catching 20, 21-inch smallmouth out of it. It's just an amazing fishery, and I just haven't had the time to get over there and really, really apply my trade in it.
So I'm those dates, man, that's a busy time of year for us here at the All-American, because the following weekend is, of course, our big major event, the Classic, goes off. Last year we had 196 anglers there at the Classic. This year we've made it even, tried to open it up a little bit more. I'll be honest with you, man. I'll go live on the air and say this. I would not be overly surprised if we hit 250. This is clubs coming from all over the nation, sending their top 15 in AOI to come compete. Right now, as it sits, you know, it's 10 grand for the first place. It pays out. I mean, I think, Josh Booth put out a deal for us to show the payouts based on 225, entry. And I think it's paying all the way down to 20th or so, you know, that are getting some money. Nice. Hourly big bass stuff. And then of course there's the team trophy. What we do is that when you sign up, you declare what club you're fishing for. And then if you got your 15 anglers, we'll take the top five from your club, gets a collective score, and we put that so we get to crown a team. Last year, Arkansas edged out the home field Missouri team. Moyak edged them out last year. And I know there's a lot of blood there, but then I can also tell you, we got some Colorado clubs coming in that are hungry to bring that back to the goofy state of Colorado.
Well, I'll tell you, man, that's going to be a good one. Yeah. I love it when that many people show up at those events. I mean, like Hobie had a few tournaments over 200 last year.
Yeah.
And it's just, man, it just makes for a great event when that many people show up. I love fishing. And you're fishing against the best of those clubs that are coming in, man. I mean, that's great. And to have a five-man team like that from each of the clubs, that's perfect.
It's a ton of fun. It's something that a lot of guys, you know, I know a lot of anglers that would love to travel more that can't. And for these guys, getting to the Classic is their one big event. You know, it's their one big trip. They take the entire week off.
Yes.
This one is a little bit extra special. You'll appreciate this, brother. We've got the All-American Lock Shields with the Romans Warrior Foundation for this upcoming season. Working with the Clinton Chamber of Commerce, their Visitors Bureau, they're making this happen along with Everhart's. We're bringing the Global War on Terror's Wall of Remembrance. That mobile monument's coming in, and we're going to set that up right in the parking lot of the convention center while the Classic's going on. So for Friday and Saturday, it's going to be set there on display for the community and all the anglers and families to come see and pay tribute. It's exciting, man. I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it. It's going to be a great, great event.
Cool.
But, yeah, man, so that's going on the following weekend. But, yeah, that Dale Hollow should be. I've never been there, but I've heard a lot of good stories. And, of course, it's anything Paddle and Finn puts on, I've been told, is just top-notch. They do a good job.
Yeah. If you go to that and have never fished it before, you're going to love it. I mean, the water's beautiful. You got big rock bluffs. You got big rock walls. There's no absence of rock on that lake. I mean, and that's what smallmouth love. And it's got some really nice feeder streams that run into it that you can get up into. It's a beautiful lake.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's a great, great section of the country too, man. I'm hoping come April it'll be a nice getaway to get down there. So real quick here, there, you know, a lot of folks don't realize this because you don't talk about it that much, but dude, you've kind of first and foremost, I mentioned the fact that you are a United States veteran. Did you retire from the Navy or did you just leave service?
No, I'm not in I wasn't in the Navy. I was in the Army.
Army? Did I get that wrong?
Yeah, you got it wrong. I was going to let it slide. But
I know, right? How in the heck could an Army guy let me get away with that? How did I forget that you were, I thought you were Navy. Man, Boy, did I lose brownie points there. God, I owe you a dinner. That much is certain. At least a dinner and a beer. My goodness.
I'm going to hold you to it.
Yes, sir. Yes, you should. So, Army. Now, so we'll go back to that story. You didn't retire from the Army, did you? Or did you? No? Okay.
No, I was in from 83 to 86.
Gotcha. 83 to 86. Nice. Okay. But the biggest thing that I wanted to also bring up that people don't realize about you, sir, is that, brother, you're an artist. I mean, you're like a Renaissance man here. Talk to me about the art that you know, that it's a big part of your life, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. I'm vice president of a nonprofit art gallery in Bluefield, West Virginia.
Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com. Knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
We're kind of a platform or a springboard, if you will, for Appalachian artists. And, it's a depressed area, and there's just not a lot of resources for our local artists in those areas to, get out and get their work seen. So we're kind of a meeting, gathering place, and we do art shows for our local artists and just try to give them a little push out into the world of marketing and where they can do how to do, like, shows and stuff like that. Just get them started, and
we've had a huge
success stories, but yeah, it's a big part of my life. And since I started fishing, I don't draw much anymore. I really don't have time for it, but I'm dying to put the pencil back to paper as soon as I can. But
brother, that's so important, man, and I'll be the first to say this. Now, I am not artistically inclined on any level, but I have one of my brothers is, and my daughter, I wish she would pick it back up because she was just a fantastic artist. She's in crafts and such now. She dabbles in that. Doesn't dabble. She actually is pretty serious about it. But the importance of humanities, in our lives, man, it's what ties our culture together. And most of the people don't even realize how much art in all of its forms plays in our day-to-day life about the things that we hold dear to, our culture here in America, our roots here in the, say in the Southeast of America or in the West. Art and culture is, they go hand in hand, and it's so important. It sucks that it's one of the first things that's cut when times get tough, man. They throw that out, and it's like, you want to know why we're maybe in some areas that we're losing touch with our, traditional areas? It's because we stopped teaching it, to a great degree. Woodworking is the same way. I'll tell you what, I watch some guys, frame and do, that's an art to me. A guy that muds, good night. That is absolutely an art form, mud and tape lines. That is not science right there. I'll tell you that. So it's, any level, it's important, man. And so that's super cool. You got that rolling.
Yeah. And back when I was going to school, they taught you trades. And nowadays, they don't do that in a lot of schools anymore.
No, it's the first programs that are cut.
We had horticultural classes. We had, if you want to be a farmer, we had, we had those trades taught to us when we were growing up. And now you don't see that very much.
And I think that ties right into the roots of connecting with the outdoors too, man. It's there's so much, unfortunately, in our world today that keeps us from engaging in the outdoors. It's why the Paddle and Fin Network is so valuable. It's why organizations like Romans and TPO of trying to engage people and get them outdoors. It's why, we exist, is to try to get more people to see the value of using our resources, our natural resources, properly and engaging them and defending them when we need to. And, you know, kayak fishing is one of the most pure, best ways, man, to get after the sport. I think it's, I love it.
Yeah. It's singular in that you're by yourself. You are the master of your own ship, you know, pretty much. And, you know, we were talking about the arts, and it's the same with music, and fishing. They're linked in that, you know, when you're on the water and you're by yourself and there's the fog's coming off and all the condition is perfect and you make that perfect cast and you catch that big fish, it takes you somewhere.
Yeah, it does.
And it's the same way with artists when they sit down with pencil and paper and they start with nothing, they start building. And then a lot of times you don't know where it's going, but the end product is there, and it just releases, you know, that therapeutic, I don't know if it's chemicals or what, endorphins or what, but it makes you feel good. Same way with music. All those things are therapeutic, you know, and what you do with our veterans and, you know, I've seen veterans, you know, that have never been in a kayak in their lives, get on a kayak and take two strokes and they're just like, I feel like I'm floating, you know, and you can just see it on their faces, you know? So it's therapeutic and it's there for us to enjoy, but we have to protect those things too.
Yeah, man. When, you know, getting the guys out that have never been and that they seeing, you know, you can always tell too, cause they get in, you know, our super, super stable boats, the Unlimited, but they get in and you can tell they're a little tense at first. Yeah. And I get them out there and I let them cast a little bit and they catch that first fish and they completely forget about everything other than getting that fish in there. And then you see them, you know, those shoulders kind of loosen up a little bit and they settle in and dude, they're gone. I mean, I'm trying to, they've got that. They take off on me and I'm like, hey, hang on a second. I'm trying to chase them around, you know, to stay close to them. But yeah, it's a super cool thing when that hits. Jen Nolan joining us here. She says, what's up, Jody? Jen from down in Texas down there.
Hi, Jen.
I just completed an interview with her on, we're doing a series that will be airing and coming down the line. That's focusing on veteran owned businesses in the fishing industry. So I'm going to try to highlight those. And of course, Jen being she is a Navy vet. I know that she wasn't Army, but I think John Rapp, I think told me that you were Army and I tried to argue with him. I think I should listen to John and I owe John probably a dinner now too. He was quiet and let me be stupid and everything. Thanks, John. Yeah. Appreciate that, brother.
He has that way about it. He'll give you just enough rope to hang yourself.
Yes, sir. Oh, and I'm a good one for that. Yeah. I always tell people I don't need help screwing up, all right? I'm real good at that. Yeah, this, you know, so this coming season, man, so you've got Hobie in line, and I assume you're probably doing some KBF events as well, still running that trail as well. Are those the major two that you're doing? Are you going to jump in any Bassmaster or?
Yeah. I mean, I try to support as many of them as I can. You know, I started out with KBF, and, you know, I still love to fish KBF. But the Bassmasters, I'm going to be – it took me – all the way until I think September of last year to qualify for the championship, this 10 killer. And I've always wanted to fish 10 killer. It's a bucket list place for me. So I qualify for that. So I'll go fish the championship and I'll fish. I think I've got four on my schedule this year of the five that they're having. I'm going to fish four of them.
So, that's awesome, man. That is super cool.
They do a good job. Steve Owens over there at Bass, he does a great job running these tournaments. And there's just, you know, KBF kind of laid the groundwork. And you know, if you got somebody who lays that groundwork and you get three or four other people involved, you know, other series, and then all the rules and everything, they start getting fine-tuned. And now you got all these series are just so fine-tuned. I mean, they're all great series now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, you can jump in anywhere you want to.
A lot of similarities to it for sure. Yeah. You know, and I'll let, we'll give a little preview here. Actually, next Monday when we go live, we got Steve O is going to join us. He's going to be my guest. Yeah, man. Steve, we love some Steve Owens over here at the All-American.
Yeah, we love Steve.
Steve was one that was very forthcoming in working with us on the schedules. He and Josh worked great together because, like we told him, we don't want to step on your feet, you know, type deal. We want to make sure that our anglers have a chance to fish our events and your events, because a lot of our guys do like to fish the Bassmaster because of the motor thing, you know. At that time, now the Hobie side as well. So it's I think there's only maybe a couple times where we got events that are similar, but we're in total different areas of the country. So it's like, chances are we wouldn't be taking or hurting each other anyway. Yeah. So yeah, it's super cool. And we're trying to get Steve to come join us at Kentucky Lake, man. Yeah. We're going to Kentucky Lake this year. We're going to be dropping in there in June. And we're trying to see if we can reel in Steve to come compete with us. We're like, hey buddy, you know, jump in the field. Let's go.
Kentucky Lake has been fishing really good the last couple of years, man. I mean, it's starting to come back pretty good, pretty strong.
That's what we heard. And so we started talking with them. We knew we wanted to push a little bit. We didn't want to get too far because that's not our turf over there. We stay in the Midwest, but this one's still pretty mid. Kentucky Lake's still on the edge of that Midwest deal. Yeah. And those folks over there at the Moores Resort who's setting us up, the folks at the Travel Center in Benton, so nice, man. The people down there are so freaking nice and welcoming. Yeah. So we're excited about that event. Should be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Good place.
We'll have to sooner or later, man, with your busy schedule. I know you're busier than a one-armed paper hanger, but we're going to need to try to see if we can reel you into one of these events with us, man. Come hang out. And I got to pay good up on that steak dinner I owe you now.
I would love to, man. I would love to. I just, like you say, I mean, my schedule is so
crazy.
Tight. When I'm making it out, you know, I've got to get the Hobies in. I got to get the Basses in. And this year I kind of put myself out there a little bit because I want to finish well in all three series this year if I can. I've had other things, you know, just distractions, you know, the last couple of years where I haven't been able to really concentrate on AOI and stuff like that. So this year I'm going to try to concentrate a little more on that, try to do a little better and get out there. That's why I've got such a busy schedule this year.
I'll tell you what I just heard is that a lot of people are in trouble. That's what I just heard. You're coming. You're getting like for real now.
I hope you're right.
Hey, so one old guy to another, we're in our 50s, brother, you and me. How's the body holding up right now? Things good?
I'm doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. I've got that. I think I've got golfer and tennis elbow, but
right.
I just keep going. It only hurts for a little while.
So in my swag pack that I take with me to hotels and camping, you know, everywhere, my travel bag, there is some stuff called, I'm going to mess this name up. Voltaire, I think is the name of it. It's for arthritis and such, because it's usually after day two practice, after I have thrown and reeled enough, those hands start to lock up, right?
Yep.
Brother, I got the fishing kit from Jody Queen because of you, I got those snap readers, those right there. Yep. Because of you, I wear those over my sunglasses. I tried finding a pair of sunglasses with bifocals and I got to tell you, yeah, that's cool in the middle of the day, but when I'm first launching and it's dark, I couldn't see shit. Like, I need these things back. So I run them right over my Wiley X's every time. That's that's my choice. And then there was, when I get back to the hotel, man, I got a couple little wrist deals that I throw on that help just kind of loosen things up for the night and take care of the joints, man. It is not easy being an old guy out there trying to, you know, sling that stuff around. No, shit hurts.
I can tell you that right now. But especially if you're throwing chatterbaits.
Oh yeah.
Hey Clay, how you doing? You're talking 2,000 or plus casts a day, you know, if you're really on it. Moving down the bank, it's just bam, 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 bam. And, you know, at the end of the day, my fingers swell up. But, you know, I get up the next morning, and once I start using them a little bit, they start getting, but, you know, it is what it is.
Right? It's like there's no option other than.
Until I can't do it.
Exactly. It's one of the reasons why I actually enjoyed getting away from the trailer and putting my Unlimited back in the bed of my truck with an extender, because I like, guys always ask me, they see my fat old butt trying to get, you know, I getting it up in the truck and they're like, "Hey man, you need some help?" And I'm like, "No, thank you." The day I can't get my yak back in my pickup, I'm going to hang it up. Yep. But this is good for me to go through this and hoist it.
It is.
You're right, man. There's no option to stop. So it's just a matter of, okay, how do I get these things working? So,
You're going to do it. You're just going to have to make adjustments, you know, just like anything else.
All you guys out there with no gray hair, you have no idea.
You have a lot to look forward to.
Yes.
It's hard on you, man. I mean, you spend 10, 12 hours a day out there pre-fishing, and then you got 2 8-hour days of competition. And, I mean, a whole week of doing that, that's thousands and thousands and thousands of casts, you know.
Dude, do you find, Jody, that when you talk to people and you talk about that, they kind of, if they're not familiar with our sport, they kind of look at you with a lifted eyebrow, like, "Really, dude, you get tired from fishing?" Because they think we're just sitting there, you know, hanging out, floating around or whatever. They don't realize the amount of cast and work.
I get that a lot from people who don't fish. You know, I mean, you know, I've seen Marky Edwards and you know, if you tell him that, he understands where you're coming from, you know. But the random person on the street, they was working on the street next to the house one day, and I just walked out there and was talking to some of the guys, and they looked down the driveway and seen the kayaks, and the guy said, what is that on that trailer down there?" And I said, "They're kayaks." And he said, "Well, why you got all them stickers on there?" I said, "Well, I do this for a living." And he's like, "You fish for a living?" I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Oh, I wish I had your job." And it just, at first it just kind of runs all over you. And then I just looked at him and I said, "Buddy, you couldn't follow me around for a week. I would kill you in a week. You'd be dead." And, you know, but they don't know. They don't know. Unless you're into this, they have no idea of what you go through out there on the water. I mean, the guys in the boats do the same thing. They're out there doing the same thing. 100%. You know, it's all that casting and moving and weird positions and stuff like that. I mean, you got to be in some kind of shape in order to do it.
No, you're right, man. And that's, I get the same thing when guys will come to the house, like pest control, they'll see my wrap truck and they start asking questions. Yeah. And it's like, "Yeah, this is what we do." You know, I explained to them the nonprofit, of course, but it's like, "Yeah, I also chase fish." That's the other side of it. And they're like, "Man, I wish I could do that." I'm like, "You know, you'd probably say that for the first week or two."
Yeah.
After that, you know, it's like, go ahead.
I do try to take the time, Gene, and explain to people, you know, about the sport. That's one thing I do at all, like boat ramps and gas stations or wherever they show an interest in the rig behind the truck, you know.
Yep.
So I get a lot of people in those scenarios that ask me about fishing, and I love to talk about it. And I love to tell them, you know, how you can get into it, how you can start. But, you know, usually after about the second or third thing I tell them to do, they start getting kind of vacancy signs going off in their eyes, and they don't
glassing over.
That's too hard. I just rather just go fishing. You gotta kind of have a little bit of a competitive nature.
Wherever we compete, I usually run into some younger guys, and, you know, and they start talking about this, about, you know, trying to take it to the next level, this and that. And the one piece of advice, it's similar to advice that I gave when I coached for many years in football, is that you need to ask yourself a question. Are you okay? And can you truly say that you love the grind?
Right.
Because if getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning is a problem, and going out when it's cold and raining, and unstrapping your boat or unstrapping your rig or getting into stuff when it's dark, it's raining, it's cold, you want to be sitting in the hotel getting warm, you know, type thing. If that's a challenge to you, and then driving for 15 hours to do it again, you know, you got to get that in your head that that's part of, you're going to spend more time doing that than you will doing the fun stuff. So you need to make sure that you fall in love with the grind. If you are in love with it, then go for it, man. Yeah. But that's a lot of it.
At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized, and with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com, that's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to Tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
I mean, there's a couple tournaments. In 2021, I think it's 2021, we had a KBF, the 10 down here on the Kissimmee chain. And usually, I mean, when you go to Florida, it's you know, you're just going to, oh, it's going to be warm, but it's not always that way. And those mornings sitting out there and the ice is freezing in the eyes of your poles, and it, you know, it's freezing on your line, and, you know, and you're in Florida. I mean, but that's just the way it is. You know, I mean, people don't understand that part, but the guys, they know it.
That's got to play with your mind, man. You're sitting down in Florida and you got eyelets freezing up. What the hell?
Yep. I know. Did I go to the right place or what?
Am I at the right event?
This is like the first tournament that I believe this is going to be the first tournament in years that I've been in Florida for the opener. And it's been pretty because we usually get something, 30-mile-an-hour winds, you know, 35-degree weather. We usually get something every year. But now I think this one's going to be really nice.
Well, let's hope you just didn't hex it. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, about my luck.
Right. Hey, man, yeah. I want to know if you would be willing, when we did our last conversation, when we had our last interview, you and I were talking about some stuff off air. And one of the stories that has stuck with me, and I'll tell you, when I went down to, I'll preface this, when I went to Felsenthal Refuge for the All-American Kayak Series last year was the site of our championship down there. Well, I did some research and I'm like, oh, damn, they got gators. You know, and for a northern boy here, look, gators, I dealt with was an occasional Mr. No Shoulders, right? And I could get away from them.
Yeah.
But, bro. Yeah, there were some down there. And then we went in onto Louisiana and saw even more. So I literally, you're going to laugh at me, I literally stopped by Walmart when I got into town and I got me a $16.99 machete. And that thing sat right next to my chair. And I'm like, you know what? You may get me, but by God, it's going to hurt. Yeah. I promise you.
I'm going to take something with me.
You shared a story about an unfortunate situation that you had stumbling into near maybe a bed or something. Would you mind sharing that, man? Because that stuck with me, and I'm never going to forget that.
Yeah. So when I first started kayak fishing, my first kayak that I actually fished a tournament out of was a regular, just a Jackson Coosa. And they're only like 10 feet long, you know, and I had an art show in the town of Okeechobee, and I told my wife, I said, you know, after the art show's over with, I'm going to go down and fish Okeechobee, you know, because that's like the bucket list place, you know, that I want to go. And so after the art show was over with, we loaded up and I dropped down to the lake, and it was early in the morning, and man, I was all excited, you know, and I'll never forget it. I paddled for about maybe a half a mile from the ramp, you know, and found this one spot, and I just glided in real easy, you know. I set my paddle in my lap, and I was using a big black and blue jig, and I'll never forget it. I just glided into this spot, and just as soon as the kayak stopped moving, I made a cast, and when that jig hit the water, a 12-foot gator come out right underneath my boat, and he grabbed the side of that coosa, and I had the seat set up in a high position, and his nose went right underneath the seat, and his bottom jaw clamped down on the bottom of the boat, and of course I screamed like a little girl, and
Yeah.
I didn't crap my pants. I was doing good. But he grabbed a hold of me, and I was like, oh, you know, what am I going to do now? And I had this paddle. It was a Bending Branches paddle, and it was the graphite ones. And I'd used it in the river and stuff, shoving off banks so much. I mean, the edge of it was just really sharp. But I grabbed my paddle, and I tried to push him off, and he wouldn't turn loose. And I just took that paddle, and I slid it across his eye, and it busted his eyeball because it just went, and he turned loose of me. And so when he turned loose of me, I turned, got out of there, and I mean, it was paddling just as hard as I could paddle.
Faster than any man in the history of time.
And I'm telling you, I was moving down through there. That little coosa has never seen speed like that. But I was cruising down through there. I got about 40 yards down through there, and I turned around and looked to see if he was chasing me or anything. And I could see that jig. It was a half-ounce jig, and it was only hitting about every 5 feet. It ran off all my line on my reel and got down to the spool, and it was going tick, 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 off that water. Man, I was moving. But yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just didn't. If I hadn't hit that thing perfect and hit him in the eye, I don't know if he'd ever turn loose of me. Or if he'd have grabbed me from the back.
That could have been bad.
That girl, he would have thrown me right out. But he didn't. He hit me perfectly sideways. I mean, just T-boned me. But I figured out, I mean, where I stopped, I had to stop. I stopped right on top of him.
Yeah.
Right. You know, his head was just had to be right there off the side of my boat where I stopped. And it was just one of the million things. And I called the FWC, the Wildlife Commission down here, and I told them, I reported it. And she said, oh, Mike, she said, well, you're lucky to be alive. I said, well, yeah. I said, do you get very many reports like that in a year? She said, we get about two a year.
Wow.
And I said, well, if you want to get rid of this one, he'll be easy to find. He's only got one eyeball. She said, are you serious? I said, yeah. I said, I'm serious. He's only got one eyeball. Well, I've never been back to Okeechobee. I don't care if I go back to Okeechobee. They can have Okeechobee. I pulled back into the ramp, and my wife, she thought I caught a big fish because I come back so early. And she said, I'm going to go get the camera. And I said, bring the van. I'm out of here.
We're done.
Yeah, I'm done.
You know, and chances are you rolled up next to a nest or something, more than likely. You got too close and that you probably couldn't see it. Because, they're not an aggressive – yeah, and they're not an aggressive species by nature. They're pretty much leave me alone, you know, type thing. But yeah, you just certain times of the year, man, you don't. We are on the menu.
Yeah, good. Yeah, you know, we're not the apex predator when we're around them unless we have a gun.
Exactly.
It's not a fair fight.
Exactly. Clay put something up here that on that last topic. We love the grind, have the passion, and stay true to your goals. Absolutely, brother. Couldn't agree more. That's a solid.
Clay's good dude, man.
Solid advice there for guys out there. Well, Jody, listen, man, I can't thank you enough for stopping by here, taking time out of your week. I'm going to let you get back to it, brother. You got a week to get ready for there. And I can tell you from the entire True Patriot Outfitters, the Romans Warrior Foundation, we love you dearly, man, and we are rooting for you out there. We'll be following along anytime that we can do any, you know, if any cool news coming up with your sponsors, anything along those lines, and we can help in any way, please know that we are here for you. And, it's going to be exciting to watch you get after it.
I'm looking forward to it, and I really appreciate you having me on, Gene. I always enjoy talking to you, man, and being on here is wonderful. I love sharing stuff with people, and I'm looking forward to this week, and I hope you're right. I hope I get out there and just smash them. But I just want to have a good time more than anything.
So. I was going to say, you just go out, be you, do what you do, and make sure you're having fun in there. And the rest of these suckers is in trouble. That's all I'm not betting against you. I'll tell you that right now.
I hope you're right.
Well, hang out for me after this, Jody. We'll catch up after we cut from this, folks. Listen, we can't thank you enough. This has been an amazing first episode for us here with our man, Jody Queen. Go check him out. Make sure you're subscribing to his channels out there as well, at Jody Queen Fishing. You can catch him Instagram, catch him YouTube, catch him on Facebook, of course, all the stuff. I don't know. Are you a TikToker and tweeter as well or no?
I don't do TikTok. I'm on YouTube and Instagram, Facebook, and Threads.
Perfect. So go hit him up out there, folks. That's a great way to support. It's just following along and give a bigger audience that helps with things. And, of course, with us here, Paddle and Finn at the True Patriot, Romans Warrior Foundation, hit us on YouTube, hit us on Facebook. A subscribe and a like goes a long, long way for us to get this message out there. We're going to keep doing this, connecting the world of the outdoors and our nation's warfighters. That's a big deal for us. And I think that's about it, man. I really do. So let's go ahead and roll this thing out of here. Tight lines, everybody.
See you guys on the water.
Be safe.
In wild country, rules were not created by man. Don't miss Wild Country, Wednesdays from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Presented by Primos. Speak the language. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment. On Mondays, head offshore with Captain Scott Walker and Steve Roger for breathtaking deep sea adventures.
Coming to me.
He's jumping.
Oh!
Look at that belly.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Tell a few fish stories along the way.
On Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.